Today on All Together Now, we'll tune into
radio-controlled drones with London-based artist Gonzalo Cardozo.
This broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
I'm Tom Rowe with the local news about radio waves for Saturday, May 7th, 2016. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Lana Medlac has this first report.
May 5th on All Together Now on WGXC, Congressman Chris Gibson, Republican from Kinderhook, said he was disappointed in the expansion of rural broadband in the WGXC listening area. The retiring congressman explained to the Columbia Paper's Perry Teasdale what he's been working on in Columbia County on the issue.
Columbia County, we are trying hard to build out in our county, and yet only 4% of the county was eligible for the state money. So what we did here is we held a meeting, and we brought in experts of a federal program called E-Rate. E-Rate is a subsidy program for schools and libraries and public safety entities.
Right.
And so, and myself and
that's been around for a while.
Yes, but we've actually improved it. Jared Polis and I, he's a Democratic member from Colorado. We wrote to the FCC, very pleased. Again, Mr. Wheeler has been pretty responsive. When I've written to him, I've always get a response, and he always listens and thinks through. And so he actually changed the rules for E-Rate, and now we can actually get a better reimbursement here. Mm-hmm. And so that's a strategy that we're going to use to build out the backbone, if you will, for Columbia County.
And is it going to be stringing copper wires or going to be over the air?
No, it's fiber.
It's fiber. So it's still one technology that we're looking at, not a mix of technologies?
We're doing with E-Rate is fiber. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're in the marketplace, there is variegation. Because a lot of our constituents here in Columbia County, of course, have Fairpoint. Fairpoint is going over copper wire, the DSL, and those that some have Time Warner, and they do have the fiber in some cases. And then, of course, Verizon has lately been moving to the 4G. They've been going to the wireless. So it is variegated in the marketplace, but as far as what the federal program, we're still trying to lay out fiber. I believe that when you look at all factors, including how temperamental that DSL is, and even 4G can be, particularly given some of our August days and what it looks like with bringing thunderstorms on and everything else. And we have benefited. If you look at Columbia County, I mean, the things that we are generally really strong at are agriculture and tourism. And what we also have seen is we've seen a growth. Look, we're talking in Hudson here, and you can look at Warren Street, and you see how much antiques have made a comeback. And so we have a fair number of folks who have moved up here, at least part-time, from New York City. And this is an issue. We can actually get more growth in the county, and the growth that the kind that we like, more investment in the county, if we can get more broadband.
In March, the Lexington Broadband Initiative did not win a state grant to bring better internet access to the mountainous Greene County town. But the group that wants to partner with the Margaretville Telephone Company to connect 90% of the town for an estimated $3 million will apply in Round 2 grant rollout they hope to see this summer. In a Round 2 grant rollout they hope to see this summer to bring broadband to Lexington. So the group has recorded a second song, Second Round Woes, with residents of Lexington, Margaretville, East Jewett, and Ashland to convince officials to help bring rural Greene County faster internet service. Glenda Lawton sings a solo and Jen Cowan plays piano on the song. The lyrics are on the WGXC newsroom.
First they say we'll get it. Work for your broadband. You will get your bandwidth. That became our plan. Now the things they're saying make it all unsure. Hurting upstate families, this we can't endure. It's no wonder that we feel abused. When's our chance for grants? We sadly muse. We feel like second-hand grows with second-round woes. We take back seat, only NYC blows. How they promised and wild dreams were theirs too. Banned, we're banned from round one, you'll be feel blue. Second round comes, that's if a second round comes. We rarely get a fair shake, it's so true. Even $15 turns to 12 up here. That's why we need broadband. We have so many plans. Little business engines work for many hands. It's no wonder that we are confused. Was it a case of upstate being schmoozed? We feel like second-hand rose with second-round woes. We take back seat, only NYC blows. How they promised and wild dreams were theirs too. Second round comes, we rarely get a fair shake, it's
WGXC has several programming changes. Latino America has returned the second and fourth Sundays of the month from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., hosted by Juan Sanchez. The Friday Night Vibes session takes over the Cupid Rocks show on the second and fourth Fridays of the month from 9:30 p.m. to midnight, playing high-energy dance music from Hudson resident Shivar Thomas. The Nearest Faraway Place begins the fifth Sunday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m., playing lesser-known indie, folk, country, and rock songs, hosted by Pat Lennon and Chris Hayes. Off the Rails debuted this week, the first Monday of the month, from 7 to 9:30 p.m., playing eclectic music from Charlie and Mara Ostrowski. And Ken Landon from Crossroads Brewery in Athens is doing a prog rock quarterly show the fifth Monday of the month from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Altogether Now expands on the WGXC news with local news now from 6 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday on WGXC. And the Barbershop Talk Show is currently on hiatus. This is Tumber with the weather for Sunday, May 8th. Showers are likely overnight and then in the morning before 8 a.m. Then it turns partly sunny with a high near 54 and a low around 39 Sunday night. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high near 60 and a low around 42. And the rain may return after 2 p.m. on Tuesday with a high near 62.
All right, all together now. Ready?
Next week on All Together Now, tune in Monday, May 9th, and hear Bill Hughes from Hudson Board of Supervisors speak about issues in Columbia County and Hudson with Victor Mendolia from At Issue. Tuesday, Republican Bob Bishop will drop by the Acra studio. He's running for Congress in the 19th Congressional District, trying to replace Chris Gibson in Washington. You can call in questions or leave them on the WGXC Facebook page or tweet them. They're at WGXC for congressional candidate Bob Bishop, who will be on Tuesday, May 10th at 6 p.m. Thursday, May 12th, Dutchess County-based artist Linda Weintraub and Ulster County-based gallerist Michael Azabel discuss Weintraub's show that's opening May 14th. And Friday, May 13th, we'll talk to more artists who are part of the Lazarus Project from Free Columbia that opens on the Hudson waterfront, May 14th. Tune in to these interviews and hear more of your local neighbors next week on All Together Now, WGXC's new 6 p.m. news show. Talking radio-controlled drones with London-based artist Gonzalo Cardozo. Let's give him a call.
Hello?
Hello, Gonzalo Cardozo. I guess tell us first how you first got interested in radio controlled drones.
I've seen the artwork called Drone Survival Guide, done by a Dutch Amsterdam based artist called artist designer called Ruben Pater, and I thought the idea fascinating because it was basically a piece of art design where he lists pretty much all the drones, all the military and surveillance drones in existence as a silhouette, so people can recognize them if they happen to see them. And he released it as a guide for not only, you know, to be showed at in exhibitions, but also to be used in more of like a social activism. In fact, he had a translate. It's freely downloadable in all languages from the site, including, you know, special to the languages where those drones are deployed, like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Middle East. I thought it was a fascinating idea, and I wanted to take it to a more sound artistic approach. So I contacted him, and he was very much into the idea. And for about a year, we researched and developed how to approach a very sensitive subject from an artistic point of view without being too subjective about it, because it's impossible almost to be totally neutral about drones and surveillance drones or military drones. So that's really how it started. There was a lot of thought went into making sure we're not offending people who live under the constant sounds of drones. So yes, I think that's, does that answer part of your question?
I guess so. Yeah. I'm interested. You said, you mentioned that you were sensitive and that end that about the reactions to people that are under the, that hear the buzz of the drones daily. Why was that so important to you? Aren't those people just want attention brought to this issue, or?
Yes, I mean it's a terrifying idea. I mean, we didn't only want it to concentrate on military drones or surveillance drones. We also wanted to create this kind of metaphor to how our skies are changing. That, you know, how drones are becoming more and more. A facet of our skies, and the record that we released, it's kind of like a play on those old bird watches records, where you get you hear the sound of a particular bird and someone introducing it, and so people can spot them. So we're doing the same with drones, so you can listen to the records and hopefully you could recognize the sound of one of those drones in the sky. Now I hope most of the big ones we don't get to experience in the Western world, but by doing it in an artistic way, we hope we're not glamorizing. I mean, I suppose our main concern was glamorizing military warfare and giving a kind of voice to the people who have no choice, who usually live under those constant threat, which is the eternal buzz that can go on for 10 hours at any given time.
Are there becoming drone watchers like there are bird watcher groups?
I believe they are, because one of the biggest challenges we had was to find the actual drone sounds for each drone. I mean, drone bases are not open to the public, so it was very hard to find good quality recordings of military and surveillance drones.
There's not good surveillance of the surveillance drones.
Sorry?
There's not good surveillance right now of the surveillance drones.
Exactly. So there's no it's very hard to find more information that it's already out there. So in terms of the sounds, for example, there's a lot of it on YouTube. So there is a community of people. Either they're aficionados of you know, they like motorheads or you know, they love the it could be the acoustic, the motors, or they're just people who are interested in what they sound like. So we crowdsource a lot online. So yeah.
And what has been the reaction to your record? I guess one side is like the old bird recording, bird records, sort of field recordings of drones, and the other side is well, you should explain what the other side is like.
Well, the other side is it's more of a soundscape composition based around. I mean, I struggled with the idea for a while. I wanted to make something more music, more musical, on the first side. So I've decided to design a soundscape which traces like the conceptual life of a drone from its making to its deployment and eventual death, which is the loss of link if it eventually loses link with its operator. So I created what I would call a melancholic soundscape piece of music. It's melancholic because I kind of lament the use of technology. Always gets, you know, it's something that could be used for amazing developments to help people, could also be used for obstruction and invasion of privacy or death in that case. So it's a very melancholic piece that goes throughout, even with a song at the end, which comes from the Mali region, the Sahel, which is a region, it's very war-torn at the moment, and it's got drones flying over almost permanently.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Gonzalo Cardoso about his A Study into 21st Century Drone Acoustics record that's just out. I'm wondering what you learned that surprised you about drones.
A lot, actually, because the colleague I've done this with, Ruben Pater, knew a lot about it. He did a lot of research that we could integrate into the record. So the record is not just a record, it comes with a booklet that has information about drones, about where they're deployed, which country they're manufactured, if they can be militarized or weaponized or not. It shows, for instance, a map of military drone bases in Africa. So all of this information was the product of research by Ruben, which opened my eyes to a lot of this of this new phenomenon that's been going on for a while. We see it now and even more now with Hollywood releasing films about it. But it's always very secretive, and we never really know the full picture. So it did open my eyes to a lot of contradictive procedures that go into and even the morale, the moralistic views about it, you know, about someone going into a base thousands and thousands of kilometers away from where this drone is actually flying, which just creates this weird concept about life, you know, life and death and connection to what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. It seems like by doing a sound piece, you're sort of focusing on the point of view of the people under the drones. Did you listen to any of the, I guess on YouTube, there's also a community of interviews with ex-drone pilots and what their feelings about the matters are?
I operated the camera. So like the camera, zoom in, zoom out, make sure that everyone can see a good picture, make sure it's in focus. Guide the laser, shoot the spot tracker.
How clear are the resolution? How clear are these images?
It's pretty clear, depending on like atmospherics and how what your elevation is at. It can be pretty clear. We're just sitting there, and we're like, okay, these guys are obviously bad guys. You know, the guy in the back hears the sonic boom when it reaches him, and he runs forward. We were actually told to get the two guys in front, worry about the guy in the back later, follow him to wherever he goes. Guy in the back runs forward between the two, and we strike all three of them. And the guy that was running forward, when the smoke clears, there's a crater there. He's missing his right leg, and I watch this guy bleed out. And it's clear enough that I watch him. He's grabbing his leg, and he's rolling. Like, I can almost see the agony on this guy's face. And eventually, this guy becomes the same color as the ground that he bled upon. And
so he loses his heat. You watch him die.
Yeah. It was, you know how people say that drone strikes are like mortar attacks, artillery. Well, artillery doesn't see this. Artillery doesn't see the result of their actions. It's really more intimate for us because we see everything. We see the before action, or before action and then after. And so I watched this guy, I watched him bleed out. I watched the result of, I guess, collectively it was our action, but ultimately I'm the responsible one who guided the missile in.
Yes, it's recently, I think it's been recently that a few of them came out, right?
Yes.
So we didn't read about them. I mean, we might have knew of a few, but not while we're doing the record. What we read was a lot about the people who were living under the drones. So we even devised this installation at the moment, which the title for us is something that really, you know, showed what this could be, which is called "I'm Afraid of Blue Skies," which this little kid from Pakistan in the Waziristan region, I believe, said because when blue skies are, you can see the drones.
It was at a U.S. congressional hearing, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I no longer love blue skies. In fact, I now prefer gray skies. The drones do not fly when the skies are gray. And for a short period of time, the mental tension and fear eases.
Yeah, something that for us is beautiful, a beautiful blue sky. For a little kid, it's exactly the opposite.
I spent a year living with an American family and attended an American high school. That was one of the best years of my life. The friendships and values I experienced and described to the villagers helped them understand the America that I know and that I love. Now, however, when they think of America, they think of the terror they feel from the drones that hover over their heads, ready to fire missiles at any time. The drone strikes are the face of America to many Yemenis.
Have you started to hear other, or I've started to hear pop artists using drones as a metaphor more recently? Are you hearing more pop culture references to drones, and what do you think about that?
I think it will just get more and more. I mean, it's something that is part of our society at the moment, and it will just keep growing and growing. I believe in the Western world, we have more of the domestic, what we call domestic drones, you know, the ones that, you know, or Amazon uses them to deliver orders. And but so your question is if I think it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I'm just your impressions of when you hear about radio controlled drones in pop culture. What are your feelings?
I mean, it all depends how it's approached. Like I was referring before to our work, we always been very careful to be respectful of the material and not glamorizing any, you know, because it could signify a different other thing. So if it's done in a respectful way, whatever it is, I don't have anything against it.
But I have to say, it's great. It looks like you're really enjoying your last year of the presidency. Saw you hanging out with NBA players like Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. That was cool, yeah. You know, it kind of makes sense too, because both of you like raining down bombs on people from long distances, right? That's true. What? Am I wrong? What?
And where are you located? You sort of implied that are not radio controlled drones flying over your head?
Yeah, I'm in London. There have been, but not on a regular basis. I know during the Olympics here in 2012, the British government used radio controlled drones to fly over the city.
So that hum of the overhead drone is not something that will just be heard in Pakistan and Yemen.
No. It will become more and more part of our perception of sounds in our society.
And how does this relate to other work and compositions that you've done?
It's probably the more serious one I've done, the more sober, can we say that? I mean, the least, the one what I would like people to just reflect by themselves and not be just present it as it is and have people taking their own conclusions. For the rest of my other work, I've got a few other monikers. Which one applied to a certain concept, but this is definitely the more serious and relevant to what's going on, I guess. I mean, we are invited to Cairo tomorrow, and as my piece, for instance, at the end, got a lot of North Africa references, I'm extremely curious to see how it will be received there.
Both, I guess, by the people and by the government, because governments in North Africa are in tacit working with the United States often.
Absolutely, yes. So we'll see. I mean, I knew there was already some problems about printing the guide, the drone survival guide, because we had to specify it was an artwork, it was a piece of art and not an actual guide. Because of the security issues. So it will be interesting to...
So you're going to Cairo?
Yes, tomorrow actually, flying tomorrow.
And how is the... So is it being well received in the Middle East, your record?
I don't think it's got much, as a record, not much life in the Middle East, but what we did...
There aren't too many turntables in Syria?
Not enough. But we offered the entire A site, so which is the exhaustive list of the drones, is or the drone sounds is available for free to download. So we will by that we will get, you know, people who cannot afford the record or don't really care about a an art piece like the record could at least, you know, find some interest in what, some research interest in what we were doing.
Although people in Yemen may not want to download the sounds they hear all the time anyway.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. There's that, and there's also the fact, and that goes back to my composition where I was very wary of using actual drone sounds into music because I'm not sure, for instance, these people in Yemen would like to, you know, hear a sound of what they consider a sound of terror made into a music composition. So
the composition, yes, almost sounds like the preparation of terror.
Yes, I guess.
Was that how you intended it, or what was your intention?
No, I mean, I intended to be, from in a conceptual point of view, from the start, it's the construction of you know, so the hardware, machinery, it goes through digital programming, flyby. So I think there's a section where you just hear actual nature sounds that slowly get drowned by the sounds of like the predator. And then it eventually, after that, there's the loss of link. So, which happens and might happen more and more in the future where they lose, the radio signal is lost with and the drones just fly aimlessly until they run out of juice. So that was my kind of, I didn't want to insert any war related sounds or any explosions or machine guns or anything like that.
There are no screams of victims.
Yes, I didn't want to do any. I think it would be too obvious. And I think I would like to, I wanted to keep it a more conceptual side. We discussed a lot about it, and we both agree we didn't want to include any actual sounds. I mean, I include sounds from some drones, but that's as far as we go in terms of becoming like a realistic... because it's impossible. I cannot go to a factory and record sounds where of the machines that are building the drones or the actual computers. So we imagine and try and make a more conceptual approach to it. We have a live show that we present, and in it we don't show any actual drones on the video footage. We showed imagery that kind of mimics what it, you know, facial recognitions, CCTV cameras, people walking around cities. We try to adapt whatever city we are and use the footage of that city, but not use actual drones footage or anything, you know, because we see it on the news all the time. It's become like this voyeuristic spectacle where we see this footage, you know, constantly on the news. So we wanted to have something a bit more abstract to it.
All right. Did we leave anything out? Did anything else you wanted to mention about the project?
No, I think that's, I think that's it. I mean, we're developing into an installation for museums around the world, which is the one I referred before, which is I'm Afraid of Blue Skies, which literally just shows a blue sky. And I created the soundscape for it, the sound that goes through several drone models mixed with, it's a more down-to-earth soundscape than the one on the record. It's more sounds of cities, of nondescript cities, where the sounds of drones come and go, as you know, integrated as seamlessly as a car or a motorcycle or anything like that. So yeah, that's what we're working on lately.
And are you doing any more appearances like Cairo or more shows?
Yes, we were in Germany yesterday, Cairo tomorrow, Amsterdam on the 7th of June, 8th of June, I believe, and in Sweden on the 28th of July, where we're presenting both the installation and the live act.
And people should go to droneacoustics.org for information about those shows and the record?
That's right, or discrepant.net, which is the label I run, which will have all the information about both too.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Gonzalo Cardoza.
Welcome to the Public News Service Weekend Update. I'm Brandon Campbell. We've got a variety of stories on this weekend's rundown, including Bernie Sanders says he's staying in the race, but he's not ruling out a possible VP run with Hillary Clinton. We've got the details on how one state's trying to strengthen cell phone privacy. And as we get closer to celebrating 100 years of the National Park Service, some people are trying to make them more inclusive. Following up on Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton's recent blowout victory in New York, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders pulled out an upset victory in Indiana on Tuesday, and now he tells CNN that he won't be backing out of the race anytime soon. But he says he's also not ruling out a possible run alongside Clinton if she were to choose him as a possible candidate for vice president. Clinton's campaign so far has remained silent on the issue, and Clinton still has to win more than 2,300 delegates before she takes home the Democratic nomination. And Sanders says he's staying in the running, at least until after the Democratic convention in Philadelphia in late July. Meanwhile, Republican Party frontrunner Donald Trump is still weighing his options on a running mate. Former political foe turned ally Dr. Ben Carson tells the Wall Street Journal that the billionaire businessman is considering all options, including a possible Democrat or independent VP. Switching gears from the world of politics to technology, several weeks have passed since the high-profile case of the FBI hacking into the San Bernardino, California terrorist's smartphone made headlines, but the issue's still having continuing effects across the nation. A landmark cell phone privacy bill's now on its way to Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy's desk. We get the details from Andrea Sears.
HB 5640 already had passed the House by a vote of 140-0, and Wednesday night it cleared the Senate, also without a single dissenting vote. Since 2005, police have received more than 14,000 court orders to obtain people's cell phone information. According to David McGuire with the ACLU of Connecticut, this measure will raise the standard police need to meet to get access to cell phone content and location data.
That standard changes from reasonable suspicion to probable cause, the warrant standard. And in our mind, that is going to ensure that police don't go on fishing expeditions.
The bill also limits to 14 days the length of time data not being used in an ongoing investigation can be retained by police.
People with disabilities and the home health care workers who assist them are saying Illinois' newly enacted overtime ban for in-home care is already having negative effects. Governor Bruce Rauner's change to not allow overtime pay hours at time and a half pay for home health care workers went into effect on May 1st. Sharon Lamp, a Northwestern Illinois volunteer with Access Living, has a neuromuscular condition and relies on a wheelchair. She says under the new rules, she's been forced to cut back on time with her personal assistance caregiver.
Because of the change, she cannot work more than 40 hours a week for me. My existing PA is scrambling to find another part-time job, which affects my existing care. My schedule of care is now very chaotic.
According to Access Living, home caregivers are already some of the lowest paid state workers. Governor Rauner's office, however, argues the state cannot afford to pay for those workers' overtime hours, despite a federal ruling that requires overtime for hourly workers. May is National Bike Month, and whether it's a trip to the store, work, or for pleasure, people in several states, including Massachusetts, are being encouraged to do some pedaling. Mike Clifford has more.
Stephanie Seskin with the Boston Transportation Department runs the Boston Bikes Program. She says they are encouraging Bay Staters to consider biking this month for all sorts of trips, whether it's to the store, to get to work, or just riding for pleasure.
Riding a bike is fun, and it's a great way to get exercise as part of your daily life. It's great for the community as a whole when you think about public health and congestion and air quality concerns.
One of the biggest events statewide will be Boston's National Bike to Work Day Festival that will take place on May 20th. A convoy will ride from Dorchester to downtown for free breakfast at City Hall Plaza.
Voters in Montana have a registration deadline coming up on Monday.
Montanans can find their polling place or print off registration forms from the Montana Conservation Voters website, mtvoters.org, then mail or take them to their county elections office by Monday. The form can also be filled out online at registertovote.mt.gov, but must still be signed at the county elections office. Juanita Vero with Montana Conservation Voters says elections in this state are often won or lost by a razor-thin margin, so high voter turnout is crucial.
Montanans need to know that their voices are important and have the right to be heard. It's important that voters know their options and that they are registered to vote. Whether people vote by mail or vote at the polls, some of these races are decided by a handful of votes, so every vote really does matter.
Registering before May 9th ensures you'll be able to vote at your local polling place. Late registration begins on Tuesday, May 10th, and goes right up to Election Day. I'm Suzanne Potter.
As the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service nears, a coalition of civil rights and conservation groups is calling for public lands to be more inclusive over the next century. Eric Tegetoff has the story.
The coalition has started a petition urging President Obama to issue an executive order to make public lands more diverse. Maite Arce, president of the Hispanic Access Foundation, says the coalition has the legacy of public lands in mind with this petition.
Our work here as a coalition is to challenge this president and also our next president to really embrace a vision for the next century of conservation that focuses on the importance of national parks and public lands for all Americans.
She says President Obama has already led the way by offering free access to national parks to every fourth grader and their families.
And that's our weekend update. I'm Brandon Campbell for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tumblr with the weather for Sunday, May 8th. Showers are likely overnight and then in the morning before 8 a.m. Then it turns partly sunny with a high near 54 and a low around 39 Sunday night. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high near 60 and a low around 42. And the rain may return after 2 p.m. on Tuesday with a high near 62.
Tonight. reflection from heaven within electronic eyes. I finally got the feeling that there's nothing I can't do. Angels can see you, I just wanna see you too. I'm gonna light the sky, illuminate the ground, and then the game is over before you make a sound. So when I light the sky, you better hit the ground. I'm going supernova, flying at the speed of sound. You'll never see my drone. See my dream.